from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr. On August 31st, we'll be in Gainesville. We will kick our coverage off at 11 a.m. And we're very proud of the pregame show we're putting together for everybody. So early pregame show, 11 a.m. Please join us on Saturday, August 31st. Don and I will have the call at 3:30 for Miami and Florida. Joining us right now is one of the great college football writers in our country, Bruce Feldman. You can catch Bruce on Twitter at Bruce Feldman CFB, or of course in The Athletic. And Bruce has a great article coming up on the University of Miami, which we'll talk about here in a moment. But Bruce, thanks for joining us, and good evening. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the kind words, Joe.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Okay, University of Miami, if a Hurricane fan tomorrow when they wake up and they look at The Athletic, they'll probably see some kind words. Your view on the UM this year, you're pretty high on them, right?
I am. Everything I've heard from people I trust down there inside the building has been different than it's been in I don't know how long. And I'm talking, 20 years. Now, I'll be honest, I thought there was a stretch – and Randy Shannon got the job. I was like, okay, he's going to tap into the players locally and it's going to take off, and it didn't. And ever since, for the last decade, it just feels like it has been, they are playing with a short stick, quite honestly. They're not competing at the same level with the Alabamas and Georgias and Ohio States. That changed now, though. I think with Mario Cristobal coming back, and I think with the commitment to NIL and the way they've gone in this offseason, and I think they got the right mix of people. I'm not saying they're going to win a national title this year, but when the playoff happens this year, 12 teams, I think Miami's going to be one of the 12.
Hey, Bruce, Don Bailey, how are you?
I'm doing great, Don. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I always enjoy your stuff. Hey, when you take the overall look at college football and you're trying to pick the top 20 in today's world of college football, or top 25, what are some of the things that have changed over the years to what people used to look at versus what they have to look at today? And, for example, the roster turnover. There's 41 new players at the University of Miami, where in the past you might have had 15 or 20 guys. It's basically double that number, and that number's basically even or in range of everybody else. So when you're looking at it and you're trying to project, where's this team going to be? What else do you look for?
I think it's hard to have continuity. I mean, you know, arguably the most talented player on the Alabama team last year was a freshman. You know, he led them in tackles, Caleb Downs. Caleb Downs is gone. He's now, you know, got a big NIL deal at Ohio State, you know, and I think that is, you know, it's Alabama. It's not like, oh, this guy left Troy and this guy left Virginia Tech or this guy left Baylor. I mean, we're talking about it's just very transactional. And I'm not saying this is a terrible thing or anything like that. I'm saying it's just way different now because of the portal, because, you know, I go to the Elite 11 where most of the top high school quarterbacks in the country will compete for a week. And you can talk about how great this kid looks or that kid looks and what they think. But the truth is, now we've seen after a few years, especially with the portal, half these guys, if not more, will end up finishing their career somewhere other than where they started. And I think it's just I think that what it does is it changes the culture of a lot of programs that had consistently been established. I also think, you know, it makes the mix of who you get. And I think it makes leadership in the locker room that much more critical. And I also think it makes it critical how adaptable coaching staffs are. I mean, look, I think Mike Norvell has done a terrific job mining the portal. You look at what that team was when they went 13-0, most of their best players on the field were all guys who started their career somewhere else, and they flourished in Tallahassee under him, you know, and I think that is different than what it was like just a few years earlier.
Bruce Feldman from The Athletic is our guest. Bruce will have a very interesting piece on the University of Miami tomorrow in The Athletic. So get your athletic prescription and check it out tomorrow. In your work with Fox, did you see Damian Martinez or Cam Ward?
I did, and I've, you know, been around Cam Ward a little more. We did some, you know, Wazoo games and the coach who had him at Incarnate Word, and have heard really glowing things about the guys I know at UM. Damian Martinez, I mean, you know Jonathan Smith, his old coach at Oregon State, pretty well. He was a very well-kept secret, you know, out on the West Coast, a big physical back who can make people miss a little bit and is probably faster than you think. And I think for what Mario Cristobal wants, and you see the remnants of that on the Oregon team that a lot of people think was going to make a national title run, big, physical, and athletic, that's what he is, right? What I think with Cam Ward, which I think has been a great addition for Miami, is they've had quarterbacks there who could do this or do that and had some, you know, definitely had some talent, but I don't think they had kind of a leader like him in the locker room. And I think that what he's brought, coupled with this is the best offensive line he's ever played behind. Yeah, because he's had some issues, you know, turning over the football and everything at times, but I feel like there's been for him a challenge of trying to almost do everything, because he was a lot of times, you know, punching up against teams that had more talent around them. And so at Miami, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's got a really good group of receivers. He's got a terrific, you know, running back headliner with Martinez and depth behind it. And he's got a huge offensive line. I think this is a perfect situation for him. And I think everything I've heard is, you have a guy who has a tremendous amount of belief in himself, but I also think he is really looking to prove it to a lot of other people that he's as good as he thinks he is.
Don has another question for you, but first, I have to say one thing. So I spent the afternoon at the doctor today, so I think I had prescription on my head. Subscription, please. Get your subscription to The Athletic. You can get a prescription too if you want, but it probably would pay better to get a subscription.
It's probably a little cheaper to get the subscription at this point.
Sorry. All right, Don.
The only one that knows that you messed up, Joe, was you. You know what I mean? That's all right, Joe. It's okay. Bruce, when you're, where's college football going? Like, you know, you said that, you know, everybody can move. It's so fluid. Is this the way it's going to be, or does it get tightened up a little bit, or are the rules ever going to change, or are there ever going to be any rules? Maybe is the right question.
Yeah, Don, I don't think the toothpaste going back in the tube at any time soon, because what we've seen is the money has increased dramatically. Look, Joe said it before, I worked for Fox Sports also, and Fox Sports is heavily invested, especially in the Big Ten. You know, ESPN is really behind, especially the SEC. And those things are just going to continue to grow. We've seen TV numbers are pretty big in terms of ratings. So that, there's that. And I think the season's gotten longer. Like, Don, when you played, now it's 40 plus years ago. The schedule, like, now we're going to be talking about these games are going into, for some teams, are going to go into late January, right? And so that's way different. I'm sure we had this conversation 15 years ago, but the NCAA has always been kind of a fraudulent operation in how it polices, in parentheses or in quotes. And now I think that has been kind of rendered kind of silly in how it operates. And so now there's, I don't want to say the facade isn't there anymore, because there's still some of it, but it's just like kind of a toothless operation that tries to get out in front of things. And now I think everybody's just like, what do we need the NCAA for? So where does that head to, you know, 5 years from now, as it becomes like superpowers and the smaller, you know, institutions that are also a part of the NCAA, maybe they don't have as much say so in the operation. I don't think that's going to like become more impactful. It's only going to get, you know, less tied down to that. So it's much more the wild, wild west now than it probably was 10 years ago.
What are we going to do, Bruce, with the conferences? Obviously, Miami's in the ACC. We got a little deal here going on with Clemson in Florida State. Does the ACC survive?
Man, I don't know. It's rare to have that outward, like, saber rattling, you know, which you have with some of the leadership of Florida State. And I think, you know, it's tough because right now they're in the shadow somewhat geographically of the SEC, and ESPN runs, you know, has it's heavily invested in both, but way more so in the SEC. And, you know, are they going to bid against themselves for this, for whatever's coming out of there? I mean, I'm fascinated to see. Obviously I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know who knows how some of those things are going to unfold, if it ends up in courts or it's contested legally. I mean, I think anybody who tells you they know where that's going to ultimately go, I think is trying to.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quarterback pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Blind to you, because I just don't think people really have a feel for where that could go. I'm sure, you know, if you're Florida State, you want a certain outcome, but I don't know if it's going to play out the way they want it to. It's so complicated and so messy right now. And again, because of the TV part of it, I think it's hard to predict, much less the legal side of it.
Do people have any idea? I mean, the general public, have they been able to put a perspective on the cost of NIL and what this is meant to programs?
No, because I think because it varies so much and a lot of it's murky. You know, you don't know how much. You know, I've heard dollar figures on what like the Oregon roster might be at or the payroll or what Ohio State's is around or what USC's is around. But then there's other things of it. Like I'll give you, for instance, like when Bryce Young was at Alabama, he obviously won a Heisman. He was very marketable, but he was getting, my understanding was he was getting a lot of the money from, you know, national corporate deals. You know, Caleb Williams, I think it was American Airlines. That's a lot of money. And that wasn't coming from USC necessarily. So the money, you know, that maybe you would think you'd have to pay for like a superstar college quarterback like that, that money wasn't, you know, coming out of them. So maybe, and I believe this was the case with both guys, it was like, hey, take that money you think you'd have to pay for me and give it to my teammates, right? Or give some of it to my teammates. And I think those are the things that are hard to kind of sort out, you know, and there's layers of this where, you know, we did a big thing on The Athletic, you know, in the spring about like a confidential piece and where I talked to a lot of players. It was fascinating because a lot of guys think that they are getting, you know, they have a $800,000 NIL deal. And one of the players I talked to who's now in the NFL, but was there a college player last year. He was like, no, you don't have $800,000 in this deal. You have maybe a house that you live in for 6 months that might be worth $500,000, but you don't own it. You just have access to it for, you know, half a year. You have a car that might be a $100,000 car, but you don't own it. You just have access to it for, you know, so it's like, some of those other things that are involved, I think it, I don't want to say it becomes like a shell game, but it's just very, it's like the accounting of it, I think, is really tricky and challenging to sort out.
Bruce Feldman of The Athletic is our guest. I think Ohio State has one of the easiest paths to the playoffs. And the reason I say that is because you look at these new schedules inside the Big Ten, and some of these teams are crisscrossing, but Ohio State basically has four road games, one of which is Northwestern, which is going to play in a makeshift stadium this year.
Yeah, now they do have one heavyweight road trip. Well, they have two, actually. I mean, but one is they go to Oregon. That's a tough place to play, yeah. Mid-October. And then I think they might have a week in between, like they have Nebraska in between, but then there's like a bye week somewhere in there, but then they play at Penn State, which is, you know, which is a team that's close to them talent wise. So they, at least the way the schedule breaks for them, you know, they have two really tough road games in there. I get what you're saying about Northwestern. That's like, and Joe, even if they weren't playing in that stadium, if they were playing in the old stadium, because we did a Friday night game where Ohio State played at Penn State, it's like a high school stadium. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not, you know, and then I think I think they have a Michigan State trip, and obviously they play, they host Michigan at the end of the year. I think what the difference for Ohio State is, like, to me, I will say this, Ohio State has probably as tough of a schedule as you could have right now in the Big Ten, because they have road trips to Oregon and Penn State, and they still got to play Michigan. You know, there are teams there that, you know, they may miss one of those three teams, because not playing USC, I don't think is a big deal because Caleb's not there. And I don't think the Big Ten West, they still play Iowa, but they get Iowa at home. Iowa's a pretty good team. It's not the Big Ten West anymore. It's like one division, but it's not like Nebraska isn't a Tommy Frazier Nebraska or anything like that. So I'll give it to the Buckeyes. I think this is a national title caliber team, considering they have so many guys who opted to return instead of going to the NFL. I think they're going to be a really dangerous team. I think they will, when the final game is played, I think they're going to be in it. I think they are one of the two best teams in the country.
Okay, last thing for you before we let you go. Bruce Feldman with us, Athletic tomorrow, going to diagnose the University of Miami. Back to your thoughts on UM. I remember I spoke with you, I think it was 2 years ago at the Big Ten media. We were talking about some player, doesn't matter who, but really your overall thought was, well, he's not going to really help that much. Your thought basically was University of Miami talent was behind the eight ball. That's kind of how we started this conversation. But you think now, as we go into this season, Mario has taken their talent level that is up with the big boys, up maybe not Ohio State, Alabama, or whatever, but they're getting there. They're pretty close.
I think they're getting there. I mean, because they have like eight dudes on the D-line now, that can play. They have a quarterback who I don't doubt that he could be a first-round pick. I think he's got that much of ability. They got three really good receivers who are ready to go now that Sam Brown's there. We talked about Damian Martinez. You mentioned like Alabama, you mentioned, Ohio State. I think Oregon's good, obviously Georgia. But like, Alabama is like, that was not Nick Saban's most talented roster. Now they have a coaching change. I mean, they're good, but it's not like Alabama's the team that we remember from 5 years ago roster-wise. Yeah. I don't think they are that, right? That group that had all those receivers, like, they don't have proven guys like that. And I look at, other teams have questions. If you ask me who's a more talented quarterback, the guy who's going to start at Ohio State or the guy who's going to start at Miami, I would say the guy who's going to start at Miami, Mario Cristobal, say what you want. He knows what it looks like to recruit talent, especially when it comes to guys in the trenches. Like, I think the O-line is closer to being where he thinks it needs to be. And I just think with the portal, if he didn't have the portal, if Miami didn't, I don't think this could have, I think they're probably a year or two ahead of where they would have been or could have been without it. And I know for people who look at it and go, yeah, they were kind of a dud last year. Keep in mind, this team in his first year that he was there, when they played Clemson and when they played Florida State, they lost by like 75 combined points. It's true, right? And then last year, they beat Clemson. Right. They almost beat Florida State and Tallahassee. And I think they were, they were playing with a backup quarterback, no less. Now, there were other games where they stubbed their toe, right?
If they had called the safety in the Florida State game, they would have won.
There you have it, right? But I think the challenge for them is going to be to play, and they're still college kids, and it's consistency is an issue. But if they play with the attitude and the, that they brought when they played Texas A&M or against Clemson, with the upgrade in talent right now, I think they are a team that not only can get in the playoff, I think they're a team that could do damage in the playoff. And once you get to a point like that, I think what we will see is if this team gets rolling by November, you have a big time quarterback with some weapons and they seem like they have pretty good depth. I mean, they could be dangerous.
Yep. All right. So your piece is going to drop tomorrow in the Athletic?
It is. So it's really a look at the playoff and I mean, kind of just where Miami could be and where I think they will be.
All right. Very good. Thank you. You've been generous with your time. Thanks a lot. Hope our paths cross during this college football season, and we'll be reading all your college football stories because it's a great time of the year, and college football is the best. So thanks for being with us.
Well, my pleasure. Good to be on with you guys. Thanks.
All right. Bruce Feldman, who has family down here. So there you have it, Don. He's got Miami as a playoff team.
Why wouldn't he, Joe? I agree with him.
Yep. All right. He did make a very interesting point. If you get rolling by November, and it's funny, you know, a lot of emphasis on this Florida game. But if you can somehow, you know, I don't want to say tread water, but you do have a new team. If you can get yourself in a position where you're in that hunt in November, then play great football, you know, you got a chance to be in the playoff this year more so than obviously any other year of the last 20 years or so.
I agree with that. But it all starts the 31st, doesn't it?
It sure does. All right,
we've got to get through that one.
We'll talk more about the Gators when we come back. Let me talk to you for a moment about Williamson Cadillac. You want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle? You want to experience a new Cadillac? You want to go to a luxury dealership? It's Williamson Cadillac. You want to be treated like royalty? You want to be treated like you're a neighbor or a friend? That's Williamson Cadillac. You want to choose from any number of Cadillacs that are arriving every single day? That's Williamson Cadillac. You want to experience all of that? Check it out online first at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. But you want to make sure that you get one of the best deals in South Florida? Williamson Cadillac is the place to go. Easy to find on US 1. I'm driving the XT4. It always delivers. The XT4 is kind of a one-of-a-kind SUV. It's durable, it has style, and will always satisfy you, as will Williamson Cadillac. They built a loyal client base because they stay focused on one thing, customers. They treat customers like family. Williamson Cadillac, Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, happy to welcome you back to the show. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr. Josh Darrow rejoins us in our next segment. And another National View coming up in our next segment with Josh Pate and Josh Darrow, the two Joshes. All right, Don, fun talking with Bruce Feldman. The National View on the University of Miami is a very upbeat one.
Absolutely, Joe. I mean, what I love about him is his perspective. I mean, he's tuned in nationally and has been involved at that level almost his entire career and gives a great perspective. And I'm looking forward to reading his article tomorrow morning.
You know, the season starts this weekend. Florida State's playing in Ireland against Georgia Tech. So right off the bat, we've got a conference game to kick things off. Florida State, of course, coming off a great season a year ago, didn't obviously end it in an awful way, but Georgia Tech, one of those teams that's a little bit under the radar. That guy's done a pretty good job of going into the portal, and that quarterback can be tricky to handle. King can be tricky to handle. Got some speed on offense, some pass rushers. That might turn out to be a pretty good game.
I think it's going to be a good game. And again, for the number one reason for Florida State is they're breaking in a new quarterback, right? So DJ Uiagalelei is getting his first start for Florida State, and they're coming off. And he's a different style quarterback than Jordan was last year. They had a move around guy, very, very athletic, and not that DJ won't run the football, but he will, but he's certainly not as active in the pocket. So I'll be interested to see how well they protect him. And you talk about Georgia Tech, Joe. I mean, you know, there's another team that last year had some pretty solid results and had some disappointing losses as well. I mean, you know, they're a team that lost to Bowling Green and end up winning a bowl game against UCF. And overall, I'm looking forward to, you know, Haynes King there's no telling how good he can be. He's a guy that threw for 2,700 yards last year, and I believe it was 25 or 26 touchdowns. But the thing that sets him apart is being able to throw for that kind of yards, but he rushed for 648 yards and 9 touchdowns. So he's a real dual-threat guy that can throw the football with anybody in the conference. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how he takes the next step. Now, he's a guy also that turned the football over a whole bunch last year. I mean, he threw as many interceptions as anybody in the country, and that certainly stunted the win column for Georgia Tech.
Our old friend Jess Simpson has gone back to Atlanta to coach their defensive line. So that will be an interesting game. on Saturday from Ireland, Florida State, and Georgia Tech. We are no more than 10 days away or so from Miami and Florida. What does Coach Cristobal want to get done now this week as he gets ready to mold his team into game week?
Well, you know, Joe, they just officially broke camp, I guess, on Saturday after the scrimmage. And the guys had a couple days off to get, you know, and yesterday was the first day of school. And you want to get everybody, all the student-athletes, get acclimated in their new routine. But, you know, it's important. It's still a long way away as far as the football world goes, as far as practice goes. You've got, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And you're still working on conditioning. You're still working on the playbook, but you are honing it down. And I think what happens now for everybody in the country is you start really getting into your two deep or your two and a half deep. You start making sure that your first team gets the right number of reps against the right scout team or the right look. And everything you do now is going to somewhat focus on what happens in the game. And that's Georgia Tech or Florida State or NC State. It doesn't matter who it is. And you just really start doing everything to just funnel it all down to where when Miami gets to Gainesville and it's a 3:30 kick, you try and peak everybody there. And I mean just peak in the sense of an understanding of what the game plan is. You're not trying to necessarily make sure that everybody's body is perfect. You follow the same routine you're going to follow through the season. But you can start seeing it in practice today. You could really see the different level of focus, especially in the first and second group. They were running three and four groups during training camp. Now a lot of the focus is on the first and second team.
Yeah, well, the Gators game right around the corner. It's going to be a hell of an environment. It's going to be all hands on deck. And it's going to be as I told you the other day, right in your wheelhouse, run the ball. Run it with Damian Martinez. Run it with Chris Johnson. Run it with A.J. Allen. I suppose Jordan Lyle. I don't know about Fletcher. But run it with that big offensive line leading the way and get to a play-action game.
Well, you really want to do that. And I think it takes, you know, we go to the running game, and we'll talk about this in the pregame. But the running game really is going to help everybody. It's going to help the defense. It's going to help the quarterback, it's going to help everybody involved. And, you know, you've got a Florida team that closed the season last year losing their final five football games. And they're in a situation to where, you know, they've got a quarterback in Mertz that returns, and Graham Mertz. And this is a guy that had the highest completion percentage in the entire Southeastern Conference last year. He's at almost 73%. And only threw three interceptions. So you look how efficient he is, and a lot of it was underneath stuff. He didn't stretch the field deep as much as you would have thought. But Florida, now that I'm starting to really dig into them, you know, everybody's talking about Florida's going to have a losing season, and they're going to have a struggle, and they're going to have – well, a lot of that has to do with the opponents that they're going to play. I mean, you've got – Texas A&M, Mississippi State, UCF, and then you go to Tennessee and Kentucky, and you're at Texas, and I mean, you end up at Florida State, and there's a whole bunch that I didn't mention, but this is a football team that's been in the South, that's a Southeastern Conference built football team, and I was watching their defense today, and their front seven is a pretty spicy bunch, and they've got a lot of skill talent, and I'm sure you've been working on your board. There's a bunch of four and five star guys that are on the Florida side of the football.
Yeah, they can't cry. Poor when it comes to talent. I think in the SEC you roll out of bed and you have players, but they've got players, a lot of players, a lot of good players, highly recruited players. Lost a lot of close games last year. All right, Don Bailey Jr. has been with us. Next week, Mario Cristobal joins us, and we'll have the Mario Cristobal show in the first hour of the Hurricane Hotline. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We're getting excited for this. And, you know, we've got a little game-like conditions coming up this Saturday. And then, you know, the switch changes, and it's all Miami versus Florida. It's all the Hurricane versus the Gator.
Okay, when we come back on the show, we'll have the late kick with Josh Pate and Josh Darrow as we continue on the Hurricane Hotline right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, Trevor Harris is our producer tonight. If you missed any of our interviews in the first hour or missed any part of the show, it will be up on WQAM.com. Mario Cristobal joins the show next Tuesday. The Mario Cristobal show begins next Tuesday here on QAM. And then you can watch it on the Hurricanes YouTube page. So that's all coming up starting next week. Our pregame show will start at 11 a.m. from Gainesville on August the 31st. So we have got some nice stuff in the pregame. I think you will enjoy it. So please join us beginning at 11 a.m. as a storm is coming. That's going to be our theme for the University of Miami. Meanwhile, Josh Pate has become one of the leading voices in college football. He had high praise for the University of Miami. And you can also follow Josh Pate on Twitter at Late Kick Josh or on his show, The Late Kick with Josh Pate. And he joined our Josh Darrow.
We're in studio for the Behind the U podcast. You know it's big, but more importantly, there's another Josh here. So, like, we had to be in studio. And this is the Behind the U, but I think I'm going to affectionately call it two bald Joshes.
Boom.
Both in black shirts.
Uh-huh.
Talking college football.
Yeah.
Josh Pate, you've been on this campus before. You haven't been here before. Welcome. A pleasure. Thanks for doing it.
So you live here, by the way. This is your home, and I appreciate you having me in. We had some cafecito right before we came on. So the way this will go is we'll sort of build to a caffeinated crescendo in about 15 minutes.
Nice.
And then it will crash on the back half, and we'll put people to sleep. It'll be
good. So I'm going to have to reorganize the questionnaire, right? Where's the good stuff that I really wanted to get into? This goes, I think, to your defining, like, power rating system, right? Which I understand from the standpoint of, like, a three-loss team could be better than a two-loss
team. Sure.
It just happens who they play, when they played them, et cetera, et cetera. To Florida, you said you have Florida, I think, at 21 in your – is it the J people? I want to attribute appropriately. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that's because most people look at Florida's schedule and go, it is the toughest schedule since, you know, God created college football. Right. But that doesn't mean they can't be a top 25 team.
Sure. It's a really quality opponent. I don't look at a schedule at all. If I'm trying to power rate a team, like you and I could have a separate conversation about who has the toughest schedule. That has nothing to do with the quality of team. And that's inverted, too. I could take the Kansas City Chiefs and give them the softest schedule. I could give them Liberty's schedule. Well, just because they won every game against a soft schedule doesn't make them bad. In fact, they're the Kansas City Chiefs. They just happen to play a soft schedule. But inverted, you could have a top 15 or top 20 team go 7-5 if they happen to play five or six teams rated ahead of them. And to me, that makes perfect sense. Now, in the AP ranking poll type world, it doesn't make
sense.
Don't
get me started because the polls come out, the lists come out, and I'm like, look, they're nice, but like, give me, there's only really one that matters.
Right.
Give me the one, or maybe midseason, but like, there's one that matters. Who the final 12? Like, Miami's 19, right? At the end of the day, whether they were 19, 15, or 25, if they do what they're supposed to do, they should be positioned to be where they are, or vice versa for any team.
I think the other thing to do, though, the thing that's important for that committee is wins and losses need to be properly
calibrated.
And I like, so the week one game, what's always aggravated me is Miami will go to Florida week one and they'll play, in my opinion, a really, really quality opponent in the toughest environment they'll probably play in all year. They'll win if they win that game and Florida goes on to be a 7-5 or a 6-6 team. Miami will not get proper credit for that game.
Right.
And to me, they should get credit for it. Because you aren't just what your record says. You are also, it's very possible to play a team that's operating at a level in week one that they aren't operating at in week 11. And retroactively, people want to like shave credit away from the win you got. And that's all I've always believed in, defining the value of a game when it happens. Now, the one exception to that is if you beat a team no one thinks is any good, and then they go on to not lose another game. I have no problem retroactively adding credit to a game, but I hate retroactively taking credit away from it.
since this is a UM podcast and you were here on campus in Coral Gables, I believe the ceiling is how you put it for Miami was 11-1.
I put it at 12-0. If I said 11-1, I lied. So the ceiling is 12-0. Well, now,
I think I listened, but it also, you know, that's the trickery of what I see on. So, but
I know what you did.
What did I do?
You heard my official prediction for him be 11-1.
Oh no, you're right. Cause you had 8-4, 12-0, and I got it. So, but just give me like you are looking favorably upon us.
Sure.
For what reasons?
I think line of scrimmage, they'll be in a better position than anyone in the conference. I think they'll have the best pass rush.
By the way,
it only
matters for this conversation.
Sure.
It only matters what you think.
Yeah. I think they got the best pass rush quarterback duo in the conference, or the potential to be that. They haven't played a game yet. And so if I'm looking around, I don't like to let my judgment get clouded based on what has been. So, you know, I'm a believer a lot of people, when they think about Miami, they think about ineptitude of result the last however many years you want to go back to. They think of the ending of the Georgia Tech game last year. That's what they think of, which will have nothing to do with this year. If Miami loses 5 games this year, it won't be because of anything in the past. It'll be because people, both coaches and players in the here and now, didn't get the job done. So I want to judge you based on what's in your building right now. What's in this building right now is pretty crazy. I go to Alabama, I go to Georgia, I go to Ohio State. I've been at all those places in the past few months. The athletes walking around this place look a lot like the athletes walking around that place. Now, you got the whole Tarzan Jane thing, okay? So it doesn't guarantee you any wins, but it does guarantee you can't compete at the highest level without people who look like that. So they've got the players here, depth on things like the offensive line, they've got. They went and got Cam Ward, and then once they got that, it was game on. I think most people who understand this sport understood, you know, once Mario stacks a couple of these recruiting classes on top of each other, those dudes will start to show up. Guys like Reuben Bain and Francis and whatnot, they already started to show up. But then you start stacking. So those guys have been here now a second year. You get your freshman class in here. But these transfer portal guys, I think in the building, they know they hit on them. And when I was here in spring, that's kind of the thing you hope to hear come fall, is we hit on them. We got Damian Martinez from Oregon State. Oh, we hit on him. Well, I think they did. Tyler Barron looks like a freak show. We think we hit on him. Well, I think they did.
He was the guy, because for me, like the first day out, like you need the roster, because you're like,
right,
especially in this day and age, half the team changed. Yeah. So two things I wanted to, because I'm trying to use your reference point of college football to help us here. You've seen a lot of other elite teams, right? You know what they look like. And you just mentioned it, but it is fair to say it's closer, what you've seen so far.
Yeah. I think kind of interested to watch another practice. Saw him work out in spring a little bit. The depth and caliber of athlete in the secondary, that's another thing. Everyone focuses on line of scrimmage. The way that the twos look at DB at Ohio State or Alabama, especially in the Saban years, or any year under Kirby, there are guys you don't even know the names of. And then you scroll on your phone and, Oh, that's a 5-star true freshman. Oh, okay, that makes sense now. Yeah. He may not even be on the field this year, but okay.
He may not even be on the roster.
Yeah.
Like I would joke, like Saban probably lost more guys you never heard of than stayed on the team. But to get to that level, you gotta have that kind of layering. And those guys, to me, then those guys just, they take care of it themselves.
Sure, it takes years of stacking to look like that. But having said that, okay, so then, you can't just have conversations about what Bama, Georgia, et cetera, used to look like, because also their twos and threes don't look like that anymore. Kirby Smart, as you and I are talking just a couple of days ago, talked about what he called the deterioration of football, which translates to my threes couldn't go win the Big 12 anymore because they transferred to the Big 12. So when you get to
that. We don't have that monopoly anymore. Yeah, we just can't hold on to that.
Here's what's happening. If I'm on camera right now, you are here and you're trying to elevate, but at the same time, those guys are coming down a little bit from the, you know, like legacy type depth they used to have, which means it doesn't take 5 or 6 years. All of a sudden, 2 or 3 years, if you recruit maniacally like they do here, and if you have guys in the portal that come in here like they do here, I'm not saying you just dead pull even with those guys. You pull well within punches reach.
This happens a lot faster.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's like an accordion. You know, it used to be expand, expand, expand. Well, now there's a little more contraction.
Yeah, we were out here.
Sure. And now not so much. So if you know how to play the accordion, you understand how the season will work.
The other thing too, because you see all of college football and us that are part of this team have now seen it in person. But from your standpoint, of the transfer portal guys they got, whether it was in December or the spring, since you see more, you see all of it. You see who really, I know Cam Ward gets all the talk, so we'll just park him to the side. Who excited you of the guys you saw that you're like, man, I saw him play at his previous school. This is a good pickup.
We went up to the Oregon State-Washington game last year, and it was rainy and it was disgusting. It was weather you could live in Miami your whole life and never experience. And I saw them, I saw Washington go up there and pull out a game. But Damian Martinez was just a star up there that not much of the country knew about. And so when he transferred here, that raised my eyebrows. You know, I don't think Damian Martinez is the kind of guy that fully shines until the lights go on. There's some guys who are like heroes in the weight room, and they're heroes in like meetings, and every time a hype video goes out, they're the ones front and center. Then there are other guys who just win you football games on Saturday. Damian Martinez is a win you a football game on Saturday type guy, and he's here. I know a lot of people around this building think the world of him. I guarantee if I went to Topeka, Kansas and found a college football fan and asked him, hey, give me five takes on Miami, Damian Martinez wouldn't be one of them. Yet, when we're watching that Florida game week one, when we're watching Virginia Tech come in here on a Friday night, it could very well be that that guy has two or three carries on third and short, fourth and short that win you the football game.
Who else? Anyone else?
Tyler Barron is one that I know everyone around here circles him. I don't know how you don't circle him.
We circled him.
Like, we had a circus come to town every year where I'm
here
from.
Here we go. We're getting the full paint mode right now. We're going in. I got to say this. So we joked earlier that how he can look into a camera, and I'm hoping to look at the right camera, to do his show for an hour straight. And he goes, it came up in radio, which I came up in. So theater of the mind. And you're now, I think we're full. The Cafecito's brewing.
So we had Riverfest in Columbus, Georgia is the annual fair.
Yeah, we miss that.
I hate you guys don't get to experience that. And so the fair comes to town, and every year, you've got that attraction that you have to pay a dollar to see behind the curtain. And there's an animal called a swamp hog.
I was kind of hoping there's something else behind the curtain. Well, but, you know, if it's Tyler Barron, so be it.
But what they would do is they would have examples. You know, they would have the guy that conned you into paying the money. So he'd say, hey, step around the curtain and you could see this. And so you're standing on one side of the curtain. That guy lets you see his face as he walks around and he goes, like that right there, and all it is just some animal that you've never heard of from another country.
It's a walk-on.
Yeah. Tyler Barron is the kind of guy that if I see him for the first time, football players 100%. Look like that? And it's the kind of thing also, so I've got buddies who watch the sport a lot. They don't get to see it. They don't get to cover it like I do. I'm blessed enough to be able to do this stuff. And every now and then, I'll text them, hey, this guy's an alien. This guy's a freak show. Barron got that text. Tyler Barron gets that kind of text, just a different looking guy.
You seem to have a connection with our coach. You've been around him a lot. What is it that you admire? What have you gathered in your conversations that are for public consumption that you really admire about him? Or in our world of like being in that position of being the lead dog for a program that wants to get to where it wants to get, that you take out of that?
I love the different experiences he's had as a player and a coach. He's seen it done different ways. He's now deep enough in his career that he's had a chance to do it himself a few different ways. I appreciate how quickly he trims the fat off the bone in conversation and just gets to like the root of you know, what is and what isn't. And like you just said, a lot of that's not for public consumption, but in a generic sense, I mean, we were in the weight room a little while ago. He walks up and pepper him five or six questions. And unlike a press conference, you're just getting the brutal truth. And candidly, a lot of it's good. Some of it you need to tweak. It can be better. But it's like, okay, I just talked to him for 3.5 minutes. And I got more than an hour long conversation with some guys who kind of, they're not in a press conference setting, but they still want to
give you the press conference.
Yeah,
quote.
And it's like, I appreciate the trust he also has. If I was a head coach, I wouldn't let anyone in my building. I'd never let anyone in.
I'm just like, I like that I can just waltz through here, but I'd be, if I was in that seat, I'd be like, shut it down.
Yeah.
I don't trust anybody.
I don't tell him that, but if I were in his seat,
get out of here. Don't watch. So I will say this was not an interview. This is a conversation over a lunch that is coming.
Yes.
Josh Pate, thank you for being here. Appreciate you doing this.
I appreciate you having me.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.